Week two with Max Markson. His new book is out, On the Road with Bill Clinton and many other famous people. You can listen to the first episode to hear about many of them. I am interested. You mentioned before in the previous week about Conrad Murray. You promoted his book.
Yes.
There was a lot of... Because we had the book on our site, and we got grief from people who...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, who wanted to, you know, wanted to say that, you know, what he wrote in there was not the truth. I know Michael. Of course they didn't, but they know the image. It's an interesting thing. I mean, what we try and do in our role at Booktopia is to be as neutral and independent. Everyone has their right to speech, their right to read, their right to believe in whatever they want to believe, but... Are there things that you... Do you ever say no to anyone? Is there things that you won't touch?
Yeah, I don't want to talk to or do business with someone if it's something that's illegal. I don't want to go there because I don't want to finish up in jail or in court because of something. Mm-hmm. So I walk away from that sort of stuff, and I say that a lot. I say no to people a lot. For that reason, and also if I don't think I can make money for them, or I can't perform for them, mm-hmm. and that happens, and it can be legitimate. Somebody will come in and see you, and I can't see that I can help them, and then other people will come in, and haven't been looked after by somebody else, or they can't get a deal somewhere else, and I'll see money immediately. I'll say I can do this, 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 and this, and I can go and perform. I can make things happen that other people can't do, for whatever reason, whether it's a personal connection with the woman or man there, or if I just I've got a vision that I can see I can fulfill for them. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that because I can say no to someone and they'll go on and be enormously successful, and then other people they're at the end of their tether and they can't get anything, and I can make money like from nowhere appear. Mm. I'm lucky.
It's I mean I have a I have a thing that I talk about, which is intuition. And if you break down the word intuition into two words, intuition, tuition is like training or the money that you pay to do a course.
Yes.
And so I, you know, when things happen, be it great or not so great, intuition is like the training that you do, that you put in your gut, that you then call on into the future. You must have developed a lot of gut feel about people, about situations. Has there been, like, over the years, that whether you probably don't get to talk about it here because you're talking about, you know, 10 of the best, but in terms of your book, but are there some, like, very early on, oh my god, we tried to IPO Booktopia in 2016 and spent the whole year preparing for that, and at the end of the year was the same month that Amazon announced they were coming to Australia. We've still grown from an $80 million company to $120 million.
Amazing success. Congratulations, Tony. You should be so proud of it. Really. Thank you.
But the thing is, we had to pull it because the sentiment in the market didn't work out. Well, we spent $4 million in restructuring and also preparing for the IPO with the auditors and the legal firms, etc. Have there been some massive learning experiences that you didn't get to put in here that you can share with people that they can... You know, they can just get a little bit of insight of the risk. And
look, there's definitely risk and in what you do, but the experience is, you know, I've been doing this. I've been doing it for over 40 years. I started promoting when I was 17 years old. I started promoting pop groups and BBC Radio 1 disc jockeys in England. And so I've been doing it for some time. And the best story I can give you is this. There's a woman... She's walking along, American woman's walking along the beachfront in Saint-Tropez, and she says to her husband, "Oh, look, there's Picasso. Let's go and say hello to him." And they walk over. "Hi, Picasso." And Picasso says, "Hello, madam." He says, "Picasso, would you just do me a sketch on the tablecloth?" I said, "Certainly, madam." He gets the napkin out, and he does a little sketch. He says, "There you are, madam." He says, "Wow, that's fantastic." He said, "That'll be $50,000. $50,000? But it took you 30 seconds to do that." He said, "Yes, but it took me 30 years to know how to do it in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it's experience. It's life experience. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing stuff, I mean, Malcolm Gladwell is one of the great writers of our time. And if you haven't read his books, you should get them. But he tells the story about this 10,000 hours. And to be an expert at something, you're supposed to do 10,000 hours. So if you work 40 hours a week for 50 weeks a year, that's 2,000 hours. So 5 years, you come to be an expert at something. And obviously, I've been doing it for 40 years. I'm more of an expert, but I still screw up and make mistakes. But I think that's where gut feeling comes from, and intuition, if you like. But if you've walked down that path that many times, you'll know things. And I people come in and see me, and I draw on my experience to give them advice or tell them what my thoughts are. And I don't hold back, because if I think something's going to work, I say, this is why it'll work. And if I think it won't, I'll say, look, this is why I think you should do this differently, or this is my advice. I never burn bridges. I don't like burning bridges. I don't like being critical. I'd rather give constructive criticism, tell them, look, that's a great idea, but why don't you do it this way? Or this will work better for you. You'll make more money. Mm-hmm. You know? And people nowadays, I want to open up a shop, and you say, well, you know, it's all online now. Get online. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go open a shop, fine, but sell it online. And you know what? If you're flooding again, I'd invest in Booktopia. Forget Amazon. Amazon's great, but there's room for more than just one Amazon in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a great world, a great game we're in.
So when you listed the 10, I've got to ask you this question. On the road with Bill Clinton, he's the biggest there. And then are you going to get abuse because little Nelson Mandela is down the bottom? Not on the road with Nelson Mandela. How come? Is it because there's two chapters, or you know him better and you spent much more time with him? Is that why?
I've spent a lot of time with him, and I'm friends with him.
Right.
And he's also the biggest name alive in the world today. And yeah, on the road, people know who Bill Clinton is, and he's going to sell books for me. Mm-hmm. And I did tell them in advance I was doing. I send them the chapters in advance, so they knew I wasn't doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done the wrong thing by any of the people in the book.
Did you have to do that? Like, did you actually have to send to Kim Kardashian?
I did not. I did not send to him. The only one was President Clinton. Right. I did not anybody else. And I could have done, but I just thought, yeah. And there's no laws that you can't do what I've done here. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything illegal. And I've revealed a lot of figures in there, which, again, for President Clinton, in the public domain, so I've not revealed anything that you can't know. You know, the first time I brought him, I paid him $450,000 US for 3 engagements on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of September 2001. So I hosted President Clinton here on 9/11. He was still in Australia on 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, $450,000 US was $900,000 Australian, which I didn't have when I, you know, when I signed the contract. I didn't have the money, but I knew where I could get the money from. And a friend of mine lent me $300,000 US Australian to cover the children's hospital event we did on the 8th of September 2001. That cleared $1.2 million profit. And then the next night, I had the labor union paid $150,000 US, and we sold 40 tickets at $50,000 a head to come to that event. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, I'd organised with Michael Kroger and Andrew Peacock, former deputy leader of the Liberal Party, and deputy prime minister. And they paid me a fee, and they paid the $150,000 US, and they sold 30 tickets at $20,000 a head. Mm-hmm. So, and the event was tremendous success. President Clinton then went up to Port Douglas. 9/11 happened. President George W. Bush signed a special order for a military jet to come from Guam to Port Douglas, or Cairns rather, to pick him up and take him back to America, because no planes were allowed to fly. And about four years later, I mean, I'd done other events with him, but I was in New York and he was speaking at a function, and I saw him beforehand, and then there were 4,000 people at Radio Civic Music Hall where he was speaking. And somebody asked him a question about 9/11, and without missing a beat, he said, I was in Australia with this man pointing at me in the front row, Max Markson, you know, like on 9/11. And we'll always have that present, Clinton and I will, but it was special things.
Were you experiencing 9/11 with him?
No, he was up in Port Douglas, but my phone started ringing as soon as, you know, it was about 11 o'clock at night here, I think.
That's right.
And my phone started ringing like crazy, and because all the press went, where's President Clinton, you know, what's happening with him? And because the Secret Service just closed him down totally, and then so they flew him out straight away.
Right, right. So you didn't get to witness how he reacted?
Not at all. But then he came back for me again 3 or 4 months later. We did 5 events in 8 days all around Australia. I had 60 Secret Service agents. We did a charity tour. We were doing events in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, flying around. I was just thinking about this the other day. I've been so lucky and blessed flying around on private planes with these people all over the world sometimes. It's special.
So when you look at the sum of everyone that you've met and some of the key life lessons of these people that have made something of themselves, many of them have come from nothing and obscurity.
Absolutely.
What are some of the that you can share with that the listeners can kind of contemplate and go, oh, I could develop that skill or I can recognize that is a great attribute. What have you learned from that, from these?
I'll summarize it up with Arnold Schwarzenegger's 5 tips for success. Mm-hmm. And this, here guys, this is a 45-minute speech you're getting in less than 3 minutes, probably. Mm-hmm. Right? But when we brought President Clinton over, when we brought Governor Schwarzenegger over in 2013, and I said, look, it's a success secrets conference. Can you give us this? He wrote a special speech for it. And here is 5 tips for success. Mm-hmm. First tip is have a vision. So for him, when he was in this little village with 200 people, his vision was to be a bodybuilder and a movie star. Second tip, think big. He didn't just want to be any bodybuilder. He wanted to be the best bodybuilder in the world. He didn't just want to be any movie star. He wanted to be a leading man in movies. Third tip, don't listen to the naysayers. So everyone's always telling you, you can't do this. So for him, he gets to Hollywood and they said, look at the shape of your body. You're never going to be a movie star. You might become a bodyguard or a soldier, but you're not going to be the leading man in movies. And no, listen to your accent. There's never been a leading man in Hollywood with a German-sounding accent as leading man in movies. And what's your name? Schwarzer Schnitzel? How will that look on the posters? And of course, he used all those disadvantages to his advantage. And then the fourth tip was work your ass off. And he's always worked hard. Even to this day, he works really hard. And the fifth one's give back. So for him, he chucked his movie career in to become governor of California and didn't take the money. So, and that's in the book. I put it in the book as well about Schwarzenegger in the chapter on Schwarzenegger. But that to me, epitomizes advice in terms of that's real takeaway stuff. Persistence, I think, is another something I always, when I have discussions sometimes around tables, what's the secret to success? And persistence. I say 3, persistence, enthusiasm, focus. If you do that, you'll win every time. But really, it all boils down to persistence. You have to persist to be successful. And you talk about starting from nothing. President Clinton, I've been to Hope in Arkansas, and I talk about that in the book. Going to Hope in Arkansas. It is it's a low the state of Arkansas is like low demographically, socio-demographic, financially money, but Hope is really low down. And he came, his father had died before he was born. And he went from there to becoming the president of the United States of America. I mean, an incredible success. And look at Mandela, he was in jail for 28 years. Look what happened with him. And Kim Kardashian came to Australia in 1996 in December with Paris Hilton. She was just a friend of Paris Hilton. Nobody knew who she was. The following year, she exploded. Here we are, like in 2018. She's a superstar. She's more powerful than any media organization in the world because she can tweet, post on Instagram, Facebook, and goes to like a quarter of a billion people. And if the rest of her family go behind it as well, they're getting to billions of people. That's incredible power. There's only 7 billion people in the world. Kim Kardashian has got the voice of them if she wants it. And she started to use it politically as well. That famous headline, the New York Post, Trump and the Rump, of her in the White House, pleading for someone to be released from jail, which he agreed to do.
That's interesting. So when you now look forward then to what you've accomplished, you're enjoying everything that you do. Is there anything else that you haven't done or someone you want to bring out?
Yeah, I want Michelle Obama. I've talked with the agent for Barack Obama. I want to give $5 or $6 million. Come and do a tour. Yeah, we'll do 20,000-seat arenas. I wouldn't mind bringing Bill and Hillary Clinton back together. They're doing a tour together at the moment. I'd gone down the path a couple of years ago to do this, so hopefully we'll do that again.
So that's an interesting point. So how often are you pitching and bidding for stuff? You must be constantly peppering these people to ask them to come out? Because
of course I am. I talk in the book about meeting with Al Pacino. Hasn't come, but I've got an offer in at the moment for Al Pacino. If I can get him here, you know, we'll do it. But I'm forever reaching out to people and knocking on the doors and saying, how about this? How about that? You try. You just keep pushing. It doesn't always come through.
So your black book, your contact list, however, it must be one of the most valuable lists of phone numbers and email addresses on the planet. I mean, surely, just to try and connect and dig so you can call and have the right person to talk to must take time and effort and perseverance, as you said.
I can do it quickly. I know how to get to people, who to ask to get to people. If I can't get their number, I know who to ask who will have the number.
Right.
I mean, that 6 degrees of separation is gone now.
Yeah.
You know, I can go online and find out how to reach out, and I'll reach out to 3 or 4 people to get to one person and we'll connect eventually. Or I'll write to somebody who I know knows them, please introduce me.
Yeah.
I never worry about that. And if I'm offering money, I figure the worst that can happen, they'll say, no.
Oh, yeah.
And I talk about it in the book On the Road with Bill Clinton about fundraising. And I did a fundraiser. I took President Clinton. I talk about this to New Zealand, and we'd sold it out in 10 days for BMW New Zealand in May 2002. And then the President Clinton's office said, do you want to do a fundraiser for our foundation? And I did a function. I organized, not that I knew anybody in New Zealand, but I got 20 people to pay 25 grand New Zealand or whatever it was, ahead for an hour round table with him. But I went to bed one night and I'd asked the concierge at the hotel at the Hilton, find me the rich list in New Zealand. They got the magazine. I gave him $50, said, find me as many numbers as you can overnight. And the next morning they gave me the numbers. I started ringing and cold calling. And there's a company called Fish and Paykel, which makes fridges.
Yep.
And Gary Paykel said to me, look, you know, it's not for me a 25 grand ticket, but ring this guy, Trevor Farmer, up and he might be interested. Within an hour, I'm in Trevor Farmer's office. He'd committed to buying 6 tickets, hosting the event in his office. And it went from there. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, you just have this, you can find people. You can find, whether it's famous people, wealthy people, whatever, you'll find them. And then when we did this money for the foundation, and they told me about a guy called Terry McAuliffe. And Terry McAuliffe had raised hundreds of millions of dollars for President Clinton on his election campaigns. And he was the national chairman of the Democratic Committee in America. And I said, I'd love to meet him to find out how he raises money. And so a few months later, I was in New York and I finished up meeting him. And I tell the tale in the book. I say, so I'm meeting with Terry McAuliffe. I said, okay, so tell me, Terry, what's the secret to raising money? And he said, just ask. The worst they can do is say no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the secret. You ask. If they say no, they say no. If they say yes, you're in. And I've got a fundraiser I'm doing at the moment. And I've sent out this letter to hundreds of wealthy people, the wealthiest people in Australia, and asking for money. Some say no. Some say yes.
So is this right? So you must... Can you kind of say, I will book the ICC in Sydney, which now holds, I think, 8,000 people.
Correct.
Right. You kind of book it, and then you can almost go out to somebody and say, hey, I've got the ICC booked. Would you like to come and do 3 speaking engagements? Is it almost like...
I never do it like that. I never book that. I don't care about the venue. If I've got the star, I'll find a venue.
Right.
I don't care about the venue.
Right.
Get the star. What dates do you want to do it? No problem. I'll then go and find the venue. I'll make it happen.
Right, okay.
If I've got to juggle it around, I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Give me the star first. The star's the most important. There's venues all over this country. You can have as many times as you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's the star you want.
So what is the biggest venue you've sold out then in terms of people showing up? Because it may not be dollars, because you may have had bigger dollars on smaller headcount because they're paying big money to be there.
Look, I never think of it in terms of the number of people. I think about how can I make the money or where's the money from.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make more money from selling 40 tickets at 50 grand a head than I can sell 500 tickets to $1,000 a head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather do that because you put the same amount of work into it. I mean, whether it's a function for 2,000 people or a function for 500 people or 50 people, it's the same amount of work. You've still got to organize it or make it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't make any difference. And I say that to people all the time. I remind them. So if you're going to do this event, you want to raise money, you know, give yourself more time, because if you're trying to raise money, just time is your friend.
Mm.
Don't try and do it in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks. And I tell people, cancel the function, cancel it.
Mm.
Start again and do it in 2 months' time or 3 months' time or 4 months. Give yourself time. Time, you'll make more money from it.
That's a great point. We can end week two. We'll come back to week three in a second. Max Markson, his book, On the Road with Bill Clinton and Many Other Famous People. Let's break for week two. Hope you enjoyed today.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.